On today's episode of Locked On NBA, still no Nick Angstead, but hey, the boys from Locked On Bulls are in the building, and we got a breakdown, unfortunately, 51 points from Devin Booker in three quarters, 49 points from Jason Tatum versus the Miami Heat, and take a look around the NBA at some of the other big topics. All of that and more on today's episode of Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for tuning in to Locked On NBA, member of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Pat the Designer. That is my co-host over on Locked On Bulls, who y'all don't get to see enough of here on Locked On NBA. Hayes is in the building. Hayes, I know we just got done talking about a riveting blowout loss by the Chicago Bulls, but how you feeling, my boy?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. Glad to be here over on Locked On NBA, holding it down for Nick. Shout out to David Spade, by the way. Shout out to Spade.
Gotta love Spade, man. Hey, here's the thing. We don't actually have to talk about how bad the Bulls were tonight here over on Locked On NBA because we got to focus in on Devin Booker. Devin Booker absolutely went off tonight. He scores 51, a season high for him in just three quarters in this game, dominating the Chicago Bulls. Bulls were never able to look back, didn't really show any heart in that fourth quarter, and Devin Booker didn't even need to get in the fourth quarter. You saw just a couple of times where he made every defense that Billy Donovan and the Chicago Bulls threw at him look silly. What did you see tonight in that game? I mean, honestly, watching Devin Booker cook tonight, even as a Bulls fan, you had to sit there and be like, this dude's really, really good at basketball. Like, there's no Chris Paul tonight, and he looks like a wizard.
Yeah, you have to at some point, right? You have to put your fandom to the side just as a basketball fan, appreciate something amazing that you're seeing. When you see a player put up 51 points in three quarters and make every defense, any type of attempt at a double team, at a zone, and say, hey, that's cute. I'm still about to go put up these points on you.
Yeah.
It's a special night. Devin Booker had one of the most efficient nights in NBA history, not just this year, in NBA history. And you have to pay respect to that. Devin Booker has stepped up. For so long, for me personally, right, I took Devin Booker's growth with Chris Paul and said, hey, listen, he's taking advantage of having an all-time great player next to him. He's stepping it up. Yep. But I think now we are seeing that, no, this is just who Devin Booker is going to be from now on. And that's going to be a dangerous player in the NBA for years and years and years to come.
Yeah, and you talked about his efficiency, man. You have to point out, it's not like Devin Booker had, we've seen the 50-point nights, right? Where it's a 50-point night, but it's like, you know, he's 21 for like 97. He's like 2 for 103 from the three-point line. He's gotten to the free throw line 17 times. Not just from Devin Booker, just in the league tonight. Devin Booker, one of the most efficient stat lines you're going to see. 51 points, 4 rebounds, still tallied 6 assists, by the way. 20 for 25 from the field, 5 for 6 from the free throw line, 6 for 7 from the three-point line. He was just cooking, man. And you know what the thing is, right? Like, me and you talked about this over on Locked On Bulls, was that the Bulls have these moments where they go through scoring lulls, and if they don't have that moment in this game, right, this could have been a competitive game. But if you want to talk about the thing that really puts the cherry on top for this Phoenix Suns team, 30 and 14 from DeAndre Ayton. They combined now for 81 points.
They did. But let's be clear. There's a little bit of stat stuffing there by DeAndre Ayton towards the end of that game.
Even before that, though, right? Like, he started off the game.
You didn't first half, think amazing.
How he started this game, you didn't think Devin Booker was going to be the one that goes for 51 because he came out cooking early on for them. I mean, like, when you look at this Suns team, just kind of me and Nick, well, more so Nick, he used to say that this Suns team was a team that could sunburn you, basically, mm-hmm. right? And kind of cheesy. It's Spade. But you know what you're doing then. But I think that you kind of saw that tonight, right? Because this is a team that's still missing CP3. This is a team that still doesn't really know what it's going to be without Jay Crowder like, if you send him and get somebody back, there still could be pieces added to this. Seeing what this Suns team was able to do versus a Bulls team that technically was a top 10 defense, how does that kind of put you in the mindset of they're third in the entire NBA right now? Are they going to take over one of those top two spots?
I don't know, bro. I'll say this. This Phoenix Suns team. Let me throw it back to you. Let me give a little pushback, throw it back to you. What do you think the ceiling is this season for the Phoenix Suns?
I think if Devin Booker's playing like this without Chris Paul, the ceiling is the roof. That's a Jordan reference. Don't worry about that. No, mm-hmm. I think that the ceiling for this team is through the roof, honestly, because right, like you're getting additions from guys like Cameron Payne that you didn't expect to get. You're getting additions from guys like Damian Lee that you didn't expect to get, right? So it's not just your top stars performing like stars. Yeah, that looks great, right? But then you start to go through the rest of these numbers and you say, hey, there's other guys on this team that can get the job done. You get 12 from Damian Lee, 12 from Larry Shamet, mm-hmm. 8, 5, and 6 from Cam Payne, the former Chicago Bull. Torrey Craig with 7-4, nothing crazy there. Mikal Bridges didn't even have to do anything tonight, but we know he's a player that can put up 16 to 18 points a game, give you 5-6 rebounds, give you excellent defense. He did play excellent defense tonight, 2 blocks for Miles Bridges, Mikal Bridges. Can't make that mistake anymore.
Don't make that one.
That's a tough one. My bad, Mikal. But to me, right, like, this is a Suns team that, and I know we say this all the time. I feel like we've said this the last 3 years, but like watching how the West is right now and seeing what they're doing without CP3, the addition of CP3, you have to think that puts you right back in championship contention.
I mean, I would say this. I almost am willing to say that this team's a championship contender even without CP3. Almost. That's why I say, like, It would have to take Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton to be completely locked in and do some amazing things in the playoff without CP3. But I do think that them going through this stretch, and I remember early in the season there was a game in which, I think it was against the Mavericks actually, that CP3 got benched for the Phoenix Suns to actually win and take over that game.
Yeah.
This team is learning how to win and not have to rely on CP3. And because of that, seeing them do this type of wins, they're at top of the Western Conference right now. I'm almost willing to say I have to see it be sustained for a little bit longer, but there at least has to be a little bit thinking, hey, this Suns team could probably make a finals without CP3 right now.
It's so interesting too, right, because of how the Suns team went out last season versus the Mavericks, right? There's beef with DeAndre Ayton. He's not happy. Monty Williams isn't vibing with him. He's not vibing with Monty Williams. And now it's like it's just a complete turnaround, right? Monty's sending him back out there. Go get your 30, brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's such an interesting change in dynamic. And I think the biggest thing for me that I saw with this Suns team, and the reason I knew coming into tonight, right, like we were going to have a little bit of trouble dealing with them. When you go through the roster, here's the thing. There's things that the Suns, right, like three-point attempts and percentage-wise, they're kind of just like middle of the pack, right? Like they're 15th in attempts. Oh, well, not after tonight. After tonight, they are 7th in three-point percentage. When I looked earlier, they were 16th, but they're now a top 10 three-point percentage.
Yeah, playing against the Bulls will do that to you.
It will help you quite a bit, apparently. But even before that, right, I talked about this over on my own personal channel. Mikal Bridges is a 41% three-point shooter. Devin Booker's 37%. Campaign is 39, which is wild to say, right? 43 for Cam Johnson, who also didn't play tonight. Torrey Craig's 38, Damian Lee's 49, Larry Shamet's 40. Like everybody on this team can score at almost every level when you start to break down some of these numbers. And I think that's just what makes the Suns team so much more dangerous than a lot of these, right? Like I think the Warriors should be that team. Like I look at the players on that team and I'm like, yeah, they did that. Like they just won a championship doing what I'm talking about right here. Mm-hmm. But we're not seeing that. And granted, 21 games in a season, right? Like who cares? By the time we get to February, we could be talking about completely different teams all around. But just early on in this season, man, like this Suns team looks like they're ready to try and steamroll the league once again. And hopefully get through, past the Dallas Mavericks, past the Golden State Warriors, and get into another NBA Finals and get another bite of the apple.
Yeah, they could definitely get another bite of the apple. I don't know if that bite's going to be successful because the Eastern Conference teams are looking legit. But I like the Phoenix Suns' chances of making it out the West right now.
Little Suns Bucks NBA Finals. You liking that? You rocking with it?
No, I need to see Celtics.
So you Suns Celtics see, NBA Finals? See, yeah. Well, maybe the Bulls will make it.
That's a funny. That's a funny.
It hurts. Hey, man, don't bet on that. But we do want to tell you guys about betonline.net. Before we talk about Jason Tatum absolutely going ballistic as well, betonline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to NBA, soccer, esports. We got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find that over at BetOnline as well. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Hey, we also want to thank you guys for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard, go behind the scenes with local experts and insight that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Hayes. So, the Boston Celtics are in a dogfight versus the Miami Heat. Jason Tatum comes out, started this game, knocks down the first three buckets. One of the buckets is an and one. He's cooking right now. He's dominating and continued to score the next. He continued to score 41 points after that. By the time we got to the third quarter, finished with 49 points. He said his own teammate Grant Williams predicted that he would go for 50 tonight. The Boston Celtics outlast the Miami Heat team that actually competed really well, probably better than we've seen them compete in these games most of the season. How do you feel about a Boston Celtics team going up against Miami and what you saw in this game tonight? I mean, Jason Tatum, once again, putting on a show. He looks unstoppable right now.
I will say this. I know we're going to talk very heavily about the Celtics and Jason Tatum, rightfully so, in this game. But shout out to the Miami Heat for being able to compete at this level without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That's major. Like, to be able to compete with the Boston Celtics, number one team, I think, in all of basketball as far as record-wise up to this point in the season, to be able to compete without your star in Jimmy Butler out there. But this is what I'll say. Jason Tatum, he's playing on another level right now. The Boston Celtics as a whole are playing on another level. But to see Jason Tatum have this type of game, 15 for 25, 49 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, only one turnover in this game, a plus minus of plus 29, that boy was balling. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, here's the scariest part about all of this, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about Jason Tatum. I think going back to the finals, right, the big thing was Jason Tatum being turned away from the net. He's not finishing at the rim as much. We have not seen that this season, to the tune that Jason Tatum not only is finishing at a 76% clip inside the restricted area, but on top of that, that's better than Giannis. That's the best in the NBA. That's above most big men in this league in the restricted area. Giannis finishes at 74% in the restricted area. Jason Tatum has added an element to his game that was a weakness last season. And dare I say, Jason Tatum might be trying to take the moniker of best player in the NBA.
I mean, yeah, when you look at Jason Tatum, when you're able to add something to your game that was a weakness prior, That's huge. And so his defense is even stepping up in this. His block percentage, he's 79th percentile in the NBA. Versatility rating, he's 93rd percentile. That's in the different positions that he's able to guard. A 62% true shooting percentage. Jason Tatum is playing at an amazing level right now. And the Boston Celtics are reaping the benefits from that, as well as we're seeing now. It seems like with the improvements Jason Tatum has made, All those questions about how well does Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown fit together, those questions are gone.
Yeah, and I think the answer comes in the fact that Jason Tatum, the question mark around Tatum was always right. Like, is he – like, after last season, it was like, okay, is he the number one? Like, Jaylen Brown kind of picked up a lot of the slack where Tatum couldn't. Is Jaylen Brown maybe taking over as the number one? Mm-hmm. And there wasn't – I think it got to a point where – and I think Tatum legitimately was hurt in the finals last year. But I think it got the points where you looked at – Jaylen Brown, and you were like, yeah, but they in the fourth quarter, it looks like they're going more to Jaylen Brown. We're not seeing that this year. Jason Tatum is saying, this is my team. This is my game. I'm the leader, and I've got probably the best sidekick in the NBA in here. Even if you want to go sidekick, right, this is 1A, 1B material here, what we're seeing in Boston. Jaylen Brown chipped in 26 points following his one-game absence due to some neck stiffness. It looks like he got that loosened up real well. 26 points, dominated the floor as well. And listen, like, that's all you need when you've got a guy like Tatum playing at this level right now. Just somebody who's going to say, hey, I got your back. Take five. Now I'm going to go off. Mm-hmm. Right? It's your show again.
Yeah, I mean, the balance between them as a team as well, as a whole, has just been really good. I love seeing, like, the addition of Malcolm Brogdon, who me and you actually disagreed on in the offseason on how much the addition of Malcolm Brogdon was really going to help this team. Yeah. Having him come off the bench has been huge for the Boston Celtics as well. I would say this. I'm gonna throw this question to you. I know you're the host of the show. I'm going to throw questions to you.
Let's do it.
Are the Boston Celtics the most balanced team in the NBA? And if not, who do you have above them as far as balance?
I would argue probably the team that we just talked about in the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, it's fair.
But probably right there. I can't think of another team that – and the thing is, right, like, it's also because the other teams that I can think of, they're just not winning at the same rate, right? Like, yeah. To me, when you see a Denver Nuggets team, I could argue that they're kind of right there as well, just because Jokic kind of makes everything so smooth and Michael Porter Jr. just has to exist on the court and knock down jump shots. But I think when you talk about, right, like, going through 1 through 5 – And Boston doesn't even have its five, by the way. Robert Williams getting himself prepared to come back. Boston doesn't even have its five yet. And when you talk about, like, looking at a team 1 through 5 right now, like, not to say that I don't see any weaknesses on the Boston team, but I think that everyone has a strength that they know how to accentuate. And that's what makes the team so balanced.
They play their – everybody understands that role on that Boston team. Everybody understands where they fit on the roster. They understand where they need to chip in at. They just play well together. And seeing Malcolm Brogdon slide in there really well. You mentioned not having Robert Williams and what that's going to do to that team, because we know how much better they are defensively with Robert Williams, and they aren't bad defensively without him at this point. And the Boston Celtics team is going to be dangerous. They're 18-4, four losses on the season so far.
That's all we got. That's all we have at this point. That's all I have. Even that, right? Like, their four losses are to two teams that were able to exploit their one weakness.
Yeah, the size.
If Robert Williams is able to come back and be healthy and stay on the court for the remainder of this season, that weakness is gone. At least on the starting lineup. You still got some depth issues on the back end, right? Like, I guess Blake Griffin kind of helps with that, right, in theory? No? Okay, don't worry about it. Before we finish this out, right, let's give a quick look at the Miami Heat here. We don't got to go super in-depth, but you did mention, right, like, Miami getting a very competitive game tonight without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And going out there and competing with a team that we didn't think we would be able to see them go head up with. Miami has had a very, like, up and down season. Bam Adebayo had 23 points in 38 minutes, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Bam hasn't been the rebounder this season I thought he would be, but, you know, it's kind of – I don't know. Like, I just – I look at Bam and I'm just like – it looks like there's something just a little bit off. It's not the same Bam that I'm used to seeing. Hero chipping in 22-6-9. Struce with 23-1-2 tonight. And then a host of others, as Miami always does, right? Kyle Lowry with 14-4. Caleb Martin had 10-6. And then Gabe Vincent with 10. I mean, is this Miami team starting to figure some things out? Is this a team that's starting to kind of get back in their groove and get back to where they were? Or is this just, hey, they came out, they played a very competitive game, but at the end of the day, right, it's still another one in the loss column for them?
I look at the Miami Heat as this. They can be a really good, scrappy team, and I do think that they're gonna end up with more wins than losses. I know they're two games under 500 right now, but I don't look at Miami Heat anymore as the threat in the Eastern Conference. Now, they could upset a team in the playoffs. You never know if they could get hot at the right time, things like that. But, like, yeah. I'm not looking at them as that threat that they once were. They do seem like a team. They just seem like a team that's just aged overall. And there's still quite a bit of youth on this team overall. But it just seems like a team that maybe their window's closed as far as championship window. And that's fine. Yeah. They're still a pretty darn good team. And you never know, an acquisition at the trade deadline or something could open that window back up. But I just look at this Miami Heat team as they're going to be a good team. They're going to beat some teams that you wouldn't expect that they can beat. They're going to play some tough games, be close. Any team with Jimmy Butler on it is going to be that. They take on the identity of Jimmy Butler. But I don't look at this team as a championship-level threat. I look at this team like they'll probably – they can upset a team in the first round. They can push a team to 7 games in the second round. They may even make an Eastern Conference Finals if everything falls in their place. But I just don't look at them as a championship-level team.
Well, hey, listen in to Locked On Heat for more breakdown on that. Of course, make sure you listen in to Locked On Celtics, because it doesn't seem like we're going to be tuning out the Celtics anytime
soon.
John Corrales
is killing it over there.
John Corrales, he's having the time of his life, isn't he? I'm sick of it. Honestly, I'm sick of him.
He's a good dude, though, man. He deserves it.
Oh, man. You got to love it, man. Hey, next we're going to take a look around the NBA. Tune in with some of these teams that you might not think would be in the position that they're in. Coming up next. Welcome back to Locked On NBA, member of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Pat the Designer. We got Hayes here with us from Locked On Bulls, my co-host in the building. Hayes, let's take a look around the NBA, my boy. I gotta pinpoint this game here. This is one of my things that I like to do, right? Around the world. Just talk about the teams, not even specifically the game, but the teams that took place in the game, and just focusing in on the surprises that are in this NBA this season. The Kings and the Pacers have been such an interesting team. Ben Mathurin said, LeBron got to prove to me that he's better than me, and went out there. Not only did Nembhard win the game for him, but doggone it, Ben Mathurin outscores LeBron and proves, hey, you're getting a little old there, King. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you're not King no more. You get a little old there, King. Pacers and Kings go up against it, 137-114 tonight. How you feeling about both of these teams, right? You got the Sacramento Kings sitting at 11-9. You got the Pacers sitting at 12-9, fourth in the Eastern Conference. Kings are sixth in the Eastern Conference. Two teams that coming into this season, we both, Kings maybe a little less, but we both kind of came into the season just like they exist in the NBA.
I had both these teams listed as being in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. I thought that the Pacers could blow it up at any point in time to fully enter that sweepstakes. And the Kings, you know what? I would have no doubts in my mind that the Kings are actually trying to tank. They just can't get right, so they're winning games.
The plan this year was to lose every game, and they keep stumbling into wins.
Stumbling into wins. That's just the way that the Kings were. The moment that they embrace the win and be like, all right, listen, we're going to go ahead and fight for the playoffs, they'll lose every game for the rest of the season. That's just how it works with the Kings. They can't get right. But, no, looking at both these teams, though, and this is why – you know, we can do all the preseason talk, preseason predictions and things. You can never really guess some of the – like, who would have thought that Ben Mathurin would have come in his rookie season and been a 20-point-per-game scorer right away? And that the defense that he can play at times as well. I didn't have Ben Mathurin slated to be the defender that he is, that he's been up to now. I didn't expect that. Tyrese Halliburton. I know he didn't put up big stats in this game, but again, him putting up 20 points per game, being 10th in the NBA in efficiency rating. Like, this is just – they're just performing. And the Kings, like, I don't know anybody. Like, you almost never want to bet on the Kings to do anything because it seems like the Kings always do something wrong. But yeah, that team is just working. Like, the addition of Kevin Huerter and just – even though he's not putting up amazing numbers either as far as, like, these eye-popping numbers, but it just makes that offense operate a little bit better. Both these teams are just teams that I didn't expect, but, like, they're really good league pass teams. They're really good league pass teams.
I think the interesting thing with the Kings to me is that almost the key for them to become the team that they are now is Sabonis almost taking a backseat role. Just kind of getting in where he fits in, right? I mean, his last five games, he's 14 points a game, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. And that's kind of been his season. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part this year, you've kind of seen Sabonis just be a, I'm here, I exist. He's 16 and 11. He has some big games. He has some games that are smaller. But just not really playing the role that I thought he would have played going over to Sacramento. But just when you see how the team is built, credit to Mike Brown. I mean, just got him hustling out there. I ain't mad at it, man. I'm
and
not
just
mad.
A bonus point, he's having the third highest PER of his career while having one of the lowest usage rates of his career. His usage rate is down from 24 to 21, from 24 last year to 21 this year. Turnover percentage is down. Assist ratio is up. Like, while the stats, like the raw stats looking at the 16.9 and 11 aren't as high as what you would have come to expect from Sabonis, he's just having a really good, efficient, and just downright solid season. A true shooting percentage of 65%. So shout out to Sabonis for just being able to be the guy that's just like, listen, to your point, I'm gonna get in where I fit in because I know what I can do, and I'm gonna let everybody operate off me. And when I see that we're at a deficit in some area, I got you there.
Yeah, for sure. Another couple teams that are, I mean, listen, the NBA is a weird place right now, man. You win a game, you go up to 4, you lose a game, you go down to 7. Toronto and the Pelicans faced off tonight. 126-108, Pelicans take the win. Toronto moves to 11-10. Pelicans are now 13-8. They're third in the Western Conference. The Pelicans were a team that I felt coming into this season, absolutely, if as long as you keep a healthy Zion Williamson, you always have a chance. And Zion had 33 points, 4 steals, 2 blocks in this game, coming out offensively and defensively dominant. How are you feeling about these teams? I mean, the Pelicans, for me, I really have high hopes for them going through the season as long as Zion is healthy. And you know what? Toronto is a weird team to me because I feel like Toronto always should be better just because of how good of a coach Nick Nurse is. Mm-hmm. It almost feels as if, right, like when I watch the games and stuff like that, like the players haven't taken that step I thought they would take coming into this season to this point.
For sure. And I also think, like, they added quite a bit of pieces this offseason when it comes to the Toronto Raptors. And there's some of that where they still try to figure it out. But, like, I look at it like much like you, like, OG Anunoby hasn't made necessarily the leap that I thought he was going to make this season. Not to say that he's playing bad, because he's not, but I thought OG was going to make a different leap this season. But, you know, it kind of is what it is there. Scotty Barnes as well has kind of been up and down, you would say, this season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, up and down. You know what I'll say? I think kind of like we talked about Ayo Dosunmu. I feel like he's playing like he played his rookie year. I don't feel like he took a step or a huge step in his sophomore year to this point. Now, again, only 21 games in, but I just feel like, right, like he's kind of like the same player that I watched his rookie year, which was a really good player, but just I thought that it was going from like, okay, he's dominating to like now he's going to be the next face of the Toronto Raptors for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the way
it doesn't seem like we're getting that.
Yeah, so, but the Toronto Raptors are a darn good team, especially in what when they lock in defensively, they're a smothering team, man. And I, as somebody, a fan who I still enjoy seeing just good defense. Like, it's just something about a game where you just see a team just goes to a different level defensively. Yeah. The Toronto Raptors are always an enjoyable watch that way. But if you want to talk about enjoyment, a healthy Zion Williamson, bro. That's a special sight to see, man. We are witnessing something special here.
It's scary, bro, because it's just like it because of his height, right? It almost doesn't make sense that you just can't stop him. Mm-hmm. And there's always that fear in the back of your mind that, hey, like, hopefully I'm hoping this isn't the game where he twists an ankle or something happens crazy, mm-hmm. because it's what we've seen in his career. But when he's on the court, he truly is one of the most dominating forces in the NBA. And it's like him and Giannis. And we've seen him body up Giannis. So then it's like, okay, like, wait a minute. Is it just him and Giannis? And I think, right, the Pelicans are such an interesting team to me because it's not just Zion Williamson. It's not just CJ McCollum, right? They get the job done tonight. No B.I. You got Jonas Valanciunas, 16 and 13. You got Herb Jones, who hasn't gotten much run this season, getting a little bit more run here, 12 and 4. Zion Williamson, 33 and 10. Trey Murphy, 26 and 5. That's right? Like, crazy. You're just getting guys to step up that are just making good things happen. And I feel like that's been the story of the Pelicans all season long.
It has. And I mean, listen, from coming from a team that watched them play against us, but the Pelicans just, they're a team that you can see when the lights are on and it comes playoff time, no matter what their record is, no matter what their seeding is, that's going to be a difficult out for any team when it comes time for the playoffs. And I know we're looking way ahead to say that, but like everything you just gave, that was without B.I. in this game.
No B.I. And we know, C.J. McCollum didn't play.
Yeah, and we know what those players are capable of. Like, we should have known this, right? Because looking at what this team did in the playoffs last season without Zion, adding a healthy Zion Williamson and just how unguardable he can be at times, it's just health. If this team can stay healthy, if they can be healthy rolling into the playoffs, listen, it's going to be really interesting in the Western Conference, that's for sure.
Yeah. One more. Let's get out of here. And it's just a simple question, right? In their last 10, the Los Angeles Lakers are 6-4 after they get the win tonight versus the dameless Portland Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Lakers back?
No.
No? No love?
No love.
I'm not going to lie. I like the move that they made. Russ off of the bench is phenomenal. Oh. Which it literally just confirmed what we all knew. Russ and LeBron shouldn't be playing together.
Yeah. I mean, and keep in mind, his minutes haven't changed. He's averaging the same minutes he was as a starter. It's literally just the role change. He went from, I think as a starter, I don't have it in front of me, he was like less than 20% from three-point range. He's back up to like 34% coming off the bench. Like, Russ is just being a more effective player off the bench. And shout out to Russ for being able to accept that role. Because there are some players that wouldn't have. And I think that he's extended his career, no matter what, if he stays with the Lakers and moves on at the end of the season, he's extended his career because if he's going to be able to willingly accepting that six-man off-the-bench role and be this effective in that role, that's going to be dangerous, brother.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, the real conversation is Anthony Davis is back. Oh. At least healthy for the most part, right? Like 27 and 12 tonight, 9 of 17. He's 1-for-2. He's been balling this entire time. LeBron James, of course, still doing what LeBron James does, which at this point, bro, like, listen, of course, all the Chicagoans and most of the world, right, plenty of LeBron hate out there, a lot of the old heads. Bro, this man is old doing this, bro. Enjoy what you're watching from this. It makes no sense anymore.
The way you said that, this man is old.
This man is old, bro. Like, I mean, duh. Like, come on, enjoy what you're watching. And then, of course, the growth of Austin Reeves, he gave some excellent production tonight, and he's been giving excellent production to the Lakers. I don't know, dog. Like, not to say that I think the Lakers are back, but I think if you put – here's the wild part, and maybe it's just me holding on to something. But I just feel like if you put competent guys that just understand, for the most part, basketball around LeBron James, I still feel like LeBron James is going to get this team to the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, so the playoffs for Lakers fans, what is that?
I mean, after not making the playoffs last year, welcome back to the playoffs. I mean,
true. But still, you think Bulls fans are entitled? Lakers fans, let them make the playoffs and win two games. This is going to be all for naught. Like,
they got some more recent reasons to be.
Yeah, I mean, true.
Hey, man, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On NBA and making it your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reaction, big game recaps, and a take of the day available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Hayes, appreciate you for joining me. I don't know if Nick's going to be back next week. I said he was going to be back last week. Maybe he is. Maybe you'll see Hayes again. Maybe you won't. Maybe I won't be here.
Nick is on sabbatical. He literally took a backpack and walked through the deserts. And, you know, him and Kyrie Irving are going to become Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, it is what it is.
Is Nick Qui-Gon Jinn? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, he's Qui-Gon Jinn.
Kyrie's Obi-Wan, Kyrie, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah.
And they're going to sit around a campfire, and Master Splinter is going to come up from the fire like in the Ninja Turtles.
Thank you for tuning in to Locked On NBA. Y'all stay safe out there, man. Bye, bye.